Hi, this is Women Who Travel, a podcast from Condé Nast Traveler that digs deep into the realities of traveling as a woman today and celebrates why we'll never stay home. I'm Lale Arikoglu, and with me, as always, is Meredith Carey.
Hello.
And today we're joined by one current traveler editor, one now former traveler editor, Andrea Whittle and Lauren DiCarlo, who are here to tell us all about cruises. And I also want to preface this with the fact that none of us really know that much about cruises.
I mean, it's like this weird scenario where I feel like this is like the opposite of last week. Like, I was on a fact-finding mission last week to figure out how I can move abroad. You're on a fact-finding mission this week to decide whether or not you ever want to go on a cruise.
I mean, I've already made my decision.
Which is a hard pass, right?
I have a lot of concerns, but we can go into it.
And then my only cruising experience was my entire semester of college that I spent on a cruise ship doing semester at sea and visiting 18 countries in four
months. That also wasn't like your regular cruise experience.
No, and that's exactly like it was like 200 college students spending 13 days crossing the Atlantic Ocean. It was not like a normal
that is very
cruise ship by any
cruise.
Right.
You were on the ultimate booze cruise.
Yeah, except you weren't really allowed to drink alcohol, so it was like a real bummer. in theory, great idea. More concerned, I think, about the 19-year-olds falling off the ship. But
can I just say, I wouldn't say we don't know anything about cruises.
That is true.
What I would say is more accurate is what you think you know about cruises is not what
you know
actually
about cruises. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you don't know until you actually go. And then you have a completely different, I think, perception of what a cruise actually is.
Did you guys just go on your first cruises?
Yes. Yeah, I went in April.
I also went in April.
Yeah.
And what did you think was going to happen?
Well, I guess we should start off by saying the kind of cruise we actually took. Mm-hmm. So I was on a smaller ship, 100 people, celebrity expedition to the Galapagos Islands. And so I think for me, it was less about the cruise. The cruise was sort of like the way I had to get there. You know, you can't just like drop in. You have to take a cruise. So it was sort of like a means to an end. It was like, I'm going to the Galapagos, not I'm going on a cruise. Mm-hmm. But I think Andrea's experience was more, I'm going on a cruise.
Well, it was also to Japan.
To Japan.
I picked the wildest possible itinerary that felt like the most interesting, that felt like it was going to take me in sort of the same way to places that I wasn't really going to be able to get to otherwise. Mm.
Which is part of the amazing thing about cruises, yeah. Lale, that you can get places.
I'm listening.
We're going to change your mind
you
next 30 minutes.
You can get places that you couldn't get to otherwise. You know, like when and how else would I have gotten to the Galapagos? But I think that's a really special situation. And the other special part of it, which makes it, I think, better, is there was only 100 people, well, 99 others on board. Because I think a lot of people have a fear of being stuck at sea with 10,000.
Like on the quantum of the sea.
Which is genuinely the one reason why I don't.
Which is what mine was like.
Yeah.
It was like, I think it was 1,400 people.
What was that like?
It's difficult to comprehend the scale of what that ship looks like. Like you walk onto the dock. We boarded in Yokohama, which is like the port of Tokyo. And you just see the ship from miles away. It's like glowing. It's so big, it's so white. The scale of like the lettering, like the P of Princess Cruises is my height. Like it's just, and you walk in and once you like enter the bowels of this ship, like it takes you a second to understand how this thing can like move through space.
It's like city blocks.
Yes.
On
it's
the
a
ocean.
Skyscraper on its side. Like, and I remember like when I was in Venice a couple of years ago, you'd see cruise ships coming in and they would be taller than any of the buildings. Like you would think you saw like, you're like, what is that weird modern apartment building? And then it would move. And like, it's just crazy. It's like, you know, you pick a building in New York and you put it in the water and that's a cruise ship.
See, I found that whole idea quite frightening.
It was a bit frightening and it takes some getting used to. But in the end, you don't really ever see everybody in one place. Like at any given time, like there's multiple dining rooms, there's multiple like areas to hang out. Like there's multiple people leaving the ship at multiple times. So you're never, you know, faced with the sheer human mass of it. You are a little bit when you're like disembarking for like a day off or when you're getting on the ship actually. But that's sort of a minor part of it. It's a blip.
And so you went with your sister, right?
I did. I went with my sister on the Diamond Princess on a 7-night cruise around Japan. So we started and ended in Tokyo We had one stop in South Korea and then three other stops around the coast of Japan. And it ranged from like kind of small towns to relatively big cities. We got to go and see like temples in the middle of the forest. We had days where we just walked around on our own and we like didn't even see anybody else from the ship. So that part was very cool. And it was also places in Japan that I would never have known to go that ended up being like very, very special and absolutely gorgeous. And it was fascinating. I mean, the cruise part, like the time we spent on the ship, especially at sea days, was like strange because you can't leave. Like you're just trapped. And that was a little weird. But in the end, like we cracked up laugh crying every single day about something that we saw, about something we said. Like by the end, we were a little delirious. Like we had so much fun. It was so crazy and so weird and so like foreign in every way.
Yeah, you just have to like lean in.
Yeah, you have to lean into it.
Embrace it.
Exactly.
And recognize this is weird and crazy and a completely different way of traveling, but it's pretty awesome when you just kind of like let it go and let it be the thing that it is.
When I think if like if you are a super planner and you like to do everything on your own, mm-hmm. like this can be
it would be suffocating.
Really stressful experience because so much of it is like you are putting yourself in the hands of the cruise company or whatever you decide to go with or the tour operators to have them help plan the trip, which I think like if you're going to all these places and you'd be planning it all on your own, like that can be really overwhelming. And this is a kind of perfect way to
totally.
To do
it's
it.
Like cruise control. Hey,
I don't know.
I do think that that is kind of like the best part about it. Cause you just like let go and let them deal with everything. And it's like, oh, I need to eat now. I will show up at this place. I need to get off right now and go see this thing that is going to be incredible. There I go. I think, Andrea, the difference, like another difference is you didn't see the same people all the time because there are just so many of you and the ship is so huge.
We had people we ate with most nights.
Right. That's another thing that's like a whole other thing. It's all about the communal.
It's all about the communal dining, although there are options. So you can like go do a flex dining that would like your ticket includes your communal dining every night. And then if you wanted to eat at like the Italian restaurant or the sushi restaurant, that's like an extra amount. So we had a dinner table. It was my sister and I, an older Scottish couple who lives in Johannesburg named Hugh and Fiona.
And then, wait, what was that?
Hugh and Fiona.
That she was like not half bad.
We listened to them speak a lot. And then this American couple from Seattle whose names I'm now forgetting. But the first night we sat down and my sister and I were both in our 20s. Both working professionals, and they look at us and they go, "Are you girls on spring break?" We are just like, no.
Can you imagine if you were on spring break and you decided to go on a week long cruise to Japan?
It's like, oh no. That being said, the age, everyone is older on these ships. Like, we were young, we were the youngest people by who were not with their families by maybe 20 years. At least.
I'm 39 and I was the youngest by at least, well, there were some 49s, but it was a definite 70s
vibe,
definitely 70s crowd.
Yeah.
But I was into it.
Yeah.
And I think for mine, because there were only 100 of us, it definitely had that summer camp vibe where everything you did together. And every time we went to a different island, we had to get into the Zodiac and go onto our islands. And so you had to organize in groups of 16 twice a day for these excursions. And it was really great because you kind of developed a little crew, you know, and so I'd spot my people and they'd save a spot for me. And, you know, traveling alone, I think at first a lot of people were very interested in me, a 39-year-old woman alone in a sea of 70-year-olds. You know, what are you doing here? What went wrong? Why are you, you know, why are you here?
And, are you on spring break?
Did anyone like assume like that you were on some kind of self-discovery?
I think a lot of people felt like they needed to take me in and, you know, like, oh, she can't eat by herself or she can't be sitting at the bar by herself. And you know, as someone who has a 2-year-old at home, I really love traveling by myself because I can sit at the bar and have a drink and go to sleep when I want. And so it was really, it was like, you know, I'm good. I got this. I'm cool. But I really loved that they felt like they needed to take me in. And mm-hmm. and for the excursions, I always had people like, Lauren, come, we like come with us. And at dinners, people would be like, Lauren, come on over, sit with us. And it really made me feel like I was part of that group, even though I was by myself. And so that was really nice. I really loved that part of it, like the communal dining and all of that stuff. I was into it.
Yeah.
Because you get to, you know, it's like people love to tell stories, and it's like you just sit there and listen to these people go on about their lives. And because they're in their 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, they've all lived such like extraordinary lives, and they've traveled a ton.
And they're on a cruise in the Galapagos, so this isn't their first rodeo.
They're adventurous people.
Yeah, they're so adventurous, and they have stories, and they've been to dozens and dozens of countries. And I'm telling you, they had so much more intel than many people that I've encountered traveling in a more traditional way. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. And I've kept in touch with a lot of them.
So I was wondering, you know, we were talking at the beginning about how a cruise to us is such like a weird and wonderful and strange way of traveling. Did you find that the people that you met on the cruise had done so many that they kind of didn't find it crazy anymore?
Oh, it's like a way of life.
Yeah.
Like they are cruising for life. A lot of people who I met, I don't know, Andre, if it was the same on yours, they actually book another cruise while they're on that cruise.
Oh, yeah. Hugely.
You know, and then a lot of people had...
With the same cruise company.
With the same cruise company.
You get a discount or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're like on the cruise and you go to some sort of...
There's like a desk area where they have like... There's literally called Future Cruises.
Yeah.
And you go to that desk and you book your cruise.
And I would also say that just as a heads up to people who are interested in this, like repositioning cruises, which are kind of this odd thing in the cruise world where you don't necessarily make a ton of stops, but the cruise is being moved to places that you wouldn't normally go. So like going Portugal to Cape Town or like going across the Atlantic. If you book those, which are kind of like for the master cruiser, mm-hmm. you usually can get access to them if you like are a regular cruiser that you wouldn't get access to if you like didn't know to book them.
Right.
Because you weren't like on the preview list.
Yeah.
Oh, so there are cruises that are so exclusive that you can only get on it if you're already on a cruise.
Because you like wouldn't know about it or like wouldn't have the advance notice to be able to book tickets. Because there's some that go so quickly. Just word of warning. So if you want to get on a cruise.
And you have to book
then get
so
on
early.
A cruise. Yeah.
So many of the people who I was traveling with had their cruises booked through like 2020, you know, so far out. And I think that these people travel so much so often that they book their travel years mm-hmm. out. And that was sort of inspiring a bit to just, you know, to talk to them and say like, we're going to go here, then we're going to go here next. And we've got this cruise booked. And, you know, my friends don't have their travel plans booked in that way.
I book things like 3 days before.
Yeah. So it was nice. I don't know.
Was there anyone that lived on the ship that you were on?
Not on the one I was on because it was an expedition.
Mm. So it's just
that
route.
It was small. Yeah. But I heard tales of that while I was on my cruise.
Did you see that New York Times video? We all watched
New York Times
video.
I sent it to you.
You sent it to me.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
But that's a thing. And it was a thing on Princess. I don't know if there was anyone on the Diamond Princess, but they were like, there's people that do it like for 4 to 5 months at a time. And there's people that have lived on ships for like 5, 10, 20 years.
And people who do that like really need to love the at sea days.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because when I was doing semester at sea, like those were the days we took class. So it wasn't like we didn't have things to do. Like the days when we were at sea were the days that we were at school.
Mm-hmm.
But like, again, like class lasts for 5 hours and then you're like, and I've got 19 more.
Yeah.
So how do you feel those days?
We ran laps around the promenade deck.
for 12 hours?
No, not for 12 hours.
Okay. Like you're in prison.
But Andrea, there is something to the like slow, right? Like reading a book.
Yeah, we'd take like a leisurely workout in the morning, like have breakfast, go get coffee, you know, sit on our deck, get our books, get some magazines, like sit out, go in the hot tub.
I mean, that's a vacation.
Like, it's a vacation. That's what you like. What that, you would do at a resort.
Yeah, no, it's exactly what you do at a resort.
But it's that nice like compromise where you're go, go, go those other days, mm-hmm. but you are forced to relax in a way that like us as like, quote unquote, like professional travelers would not like force ourselves to take the time to like just sit.
Yeah. Well, what I like about that as well is you don't have the sense of guilt of like, I should be off visiting this thing or walking around this neighborhood.
That is totally
You don't have the option.
It's like shuffleboard or karaoke. Pick your...
Or like a margarita.
Or a pool. Like you got options.
A trashy magazine and a drink.
Our ship, because we were in Japan, it had certain like Japanese elements to
it. Yeah, I really want to, because I was in Japan around the same time that you were for the first time. And now I'm like even more fascinated with Japan than I was before.
Oh, yeah. We had an onsen on board. So there was like a full Japanese bath.
What was the cruise onsen scene like?
I did not go because I find the whole onsen thing to be a little intimidating. Just like because we...
It was very stressful.
It's stressful because you have to be fully naked. There's all these like things that you have to do. Like you pour the bucket and you don't sit on the stool, but you use the... I don't know.
And you got to make sure you go under the right flag. You might end up in the men's onsen, so which I did.
We did an onsen in Tokyo because our hotel had one. But then... I just like couldn't deal. It was like too much for me. So the cruise had an onsen. They had like a lot of Japanese options. So there was like miso soup at breakfast and rice and seaweed and all these sorts of things. At the ice cream bar, there was matcha soft serve. Very nice. We indulged in that a lot. It was very fancy.
Did you feel like you got to experience Japan?
Yes. I think it... More than I probably would have if I had just done like Tokyo and Kyoto.
How so? That's so interesting.
Because we saw, so this one town that was like my favorite place that we went called Matsue, which it's like, if you've ever seen like a Miyazaki movie, it's like that. It's like picturesque, beautiful, like small city Japan with this incredible castle in the middle of it on an island surrounded by a moat. And there's little boats in the moat and canals that go through the city and beautiful little antique shops and little tea houses. And this, we went to this noodle shop that we literally found in a copy of, I don't know if it's Fodders or Fodors. Fodders?
I thought it was like Fodors.
Fodors.
Like Hordor.
Fodors. That was in the ship's library. And we just like found it in there. We walk in, there is not one other Western person in there. We're the only people in there. Nobody spoke English. We didn't understand. Like we ordered blindly and had the most delicious, like beautiful, relaxing lunch in this courtyard, like little sort of greenhouse type of thing. And it was, I don't know, I just, you don't find that in Tokyo. Like Tokyo is amazing, but everyone kind of speaks English, and a lot of the places that you go, it, if you don't have a sort of expert guide or a local showing you around, but we were just like thrown in to these places and had to like run around and discover it and make a ton of mistakes and laugh at ourselves and walk down these streets, and we saw a part of it that I don't think that I would have even known to plan, which was really cool.
And what were your off-ship excursions like? What did they entail?
Well, it's the Galapagos, so you're there to see wildlife, birds,
turtles,
reptiles,
tortoises, you know. So we would leave the ship twice a day and go to a different island in the morning, and then in the afternoon we would take walks around and just look at stuff. And it was, I mean, it's incredible. You feel like you're on another planet. It's unlike any other place I've ever been, I've ever dreamed of being, you know, because there's no humans there. And so the animals just come right up to you. They have no fear.
That's so wild.
Yeah, it's magical. It's incredible. And I want to go back and take another cruise there.
You're hooked.
I'm hooked. Well, you know, because you kind of have to take a cruise. But it's one of those places where I thought everyone who was there, this was like a once in a lifetime. And there were a few people on my cruise who had been there already, which I was kind of surprised by. But it's, you spend such little time on the ship. And I think that's the difference. You know, it's very small. There's one restaurant. There's one bar. And you don't spend much time there. You're there to like take naps, go to sleep, and eat food. And that's not really that much time. So you're really out doing so much during the day. So it's not this like totally tricked out boat it's, you know, it's luxury still, but it's not like Andrea's, I'm sure.
So many activities.
You know, you're not like getting dressed for dinner, which is another thing. That's like another weird total cruise thing. Culture is the like, did, was yours nights. Black
we had
tie?
Two formal nights, not black tie, but a lot of people did like wear, it was a mix. It was like men in tuxes, men in suits, women in cocktail dresses, women in kimonos.
Wow, yeah. Ours was like, not, we were like shorts
I found,
and t-shirts.
I found that part very weird. It was just like.
Did you dress up?
Well, yeah.
You have to, right?
You kind of have to.
You kind of have, it's like weird if you don't. So we, you know, we put on like cocktail dresses and heels, and the first
did you fall over night, in the hallway?
The first formal night was like the most violent night we had at sea. Like we were rocking, the, you know, drinks were like sloshing on the tables. It was a little rough, but also kind of funny.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just kind of funny. It's like you're on a boat rocking like this.
Yeah.
Like wearing a fancy dress and drinking and like listening to a jazz band.
Yeah. Like, with what are your pals' names?
Hugh and Fiona.
So, but I think that's sort of like feeds into the whole allure of a cruise. You just have to, like, you're kind of laughing the whole time and thinking like everything here is a story, you know, everything that you're experiencing, you're going to go home and tell your friends and be like, you would not believe this crew and like the shenanigans that go on. Yeah. And, you know, even because ours was so small, people would start talking a little smack about people by the end of it. Like, swarming. Oh, so-and-so, she's such a pain in the ass, you know? And it was, it's, you feel, I left there feeling like how I did after my study abroad program. Like, you experience so much so fast and furious that you feel this bond.
Right, like with only like you don't, like they you don't only get to choose know. Your friends.
Yeah,
like it's
exactly.
Just those people.
Exactly, and it's like, no one knows except for Luverne and Gary what went down in the Galapagos, you know? And it's sort of nice to have that with some people scattered all over the world. Mm-hmm. But I think that, Lale, I would say, like, don't give up on it, because I think you have to go into it with this spirit of, like, this is going to be weird and, like, sometimes uncomfortable. And it's going to be unlike any other trip you've taken, but I think it's worth it. And I think that you will see places that you wouldn't be able to see otherwise. And you're going to see them in a different way. Mm-hmm. I remember, Andrea, do you remember that piece we ran in the magazine? Paul Brady wrote it about approaching, was it Budapest?
Yes, by the cities that are designed to be approached by water.
And I think about this a lot, because it's like, you think about like ye olden times when, like, you know, you'd roll up to a city in a ship, and that is how these cities were designed and how they were meant to be seen. And he described it in such a way, like seeing the sun rise, you know, pulling into the city. And it's like, you don't get that when you fly into some airport, you know, an hour outside of the city.
No, you
it's
end up
just
driving
not,
through a part that you like would never want to see.
It's just not the same.
The industrial park.
There's really something.
The drive from JFK.
Yeah, it doesn't hit you in quite the same
it's
way.
It's the same everywhere in the world.
But, you know, just like think of that, like driving in from JFK versus pulling into Manhattan. It's like it hits you in this way that's sort of unforgettable. And like all that other weird stuff aside, it's still pretty magical.
But all that other weird stuff. Did any of you guys read the Michael Ian Black essay in the New York Times travel section about cruising?
Oh my gosh, about going on a Disney... Are we talking about the same thing? Okay.
No, this is two different things. Because this was a rebuttal, because the editor of the travel section wrote an essay about going on a Disney cruise, and it was, I think, quite critical. Michael Ian Black on Twitter responds to Pamela Paul, who is the book's editor, posting that link and goes, like, if you, like, pay me to write... Like, I will defend, like, why I think cruises are, like, legitimately amazing. And he's a comedian, Michael Ian Black. And he wrote this, like, very heartfelt essay about why he, like, legitimately absolutely loves cruises. And he goes with his family, and he goes all the time. And he, like, started because he first had a gig on one, and now it's, like, this kind of big part of his life. And the part of the essay that, like, rang so true for me was that he talks about how, and he's talking about another famous cruising essay, which is David Foster Wallace, which is just like eviscerating everything about cruises. It's very funny.
It's amazing.
It's so, it's incredible. And that was, for me, my first cruise like knowledge.
And same here.
But so Michael Ian Black kind of, in a response to that essay, which is hilarious, perfectly well written, incredibly long, that like all of that uncool stuff that Foster Wallace is criticizing is actually like the best part. singing karaoke with a bunch of 80-year-olds or going to like ABBA Power Hour.
It's such a relief to not be cool.
It's such a relief. Exactly. That's exactly what he wrote. He was like, it is such a relief and it's so much fun to go into this and not be like, is this cool? Like, yeah, am I like, looking cool?
That's the
like,
point of a vacation, that's the whole point. Right?
And that's why we like laughed so much, is because like we went out there and sang karaoke in front of a bunch of 80-year-olds. Like, what's not funny about that?
And I bet like 10 years from now, you're still going to be talking about this trip.
Absolutely.
With your sister.
Yeah. 100%. I think that's the kind of the fun part, is that you're not like, oh, which like hot restaurant that's been on Instagram should we go to? It's like, we're going to eat. It's going to be good. We're going to have like some pasta and a glass of wine. And then like, we're going to go dance.
You're also not going to have to worry about paying for it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. I was interested actually from, this sounds like incredibly pathetic, but like from like just having no Wi-Fi. Do you have Wi-Fi? Can you use your phone when you're at sea?
We had Wi-Fi. It was not very good and you had to pay for it by the minute.
And things load incredibly slowly.
Yeah.
Notoriously.
It's like satellite Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we didn't have much Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah.
It exists not in somewhere. Strong
somewhere
quantities.
Out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, again, like just kind of like the sea days, it's like a forced disconnection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even if you do pay $100 for like an hour and a half of Wi-Fi, like you realize it's not. Like, it's not worth it. Nothing is burning down. Like,
I mean, I had like stories to file, so I did kind of have to use it.
Okay, but work though.
Yeah, work though.
Yeah.
But I didn't like, I wasn't like scrolling on Twitter on my lounge chair.
Right.
You know.
And it's so nice to see people not with their phone in their hand.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
when
not
we
a compulsive
were,
thing.
When we were out, you know, people were using it to take pictures and stuff, but then they'd just put it back in their pocket because there's no use.
Yeah.
It's an alarm clock and a camera.
And people had cameras.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it was amazing.
But they had like very professional ones.
Yes, they did.
The birders.
Yeah. Yeah. The birders went hard on the
there
lenses.
There was a Leica shop on my cruise ship.
For cameras?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You could buy a Leica camera. You could also buy diamonds. You could buy Coach bags, perfumes.
It's like the best of duty free.
Yeah, it was
always around
it
you.
It was a duty free like area. It was kind of part was sort of odd to me. I was like
a shopping mall.
There was like a diamond store and they would have like diamond events in the store. And I was
fancy.
Like, this is weird.
Oh.
I didn't like that.
On the opposite end of the spectrum from diamonds, like the exact opposite, seasickness.
Mm.
How did you guys approach that at all? Was it ever an issue?
It wasn't for me, because once we got to where we were, we didn't really move all that much. We were just pretty stationary. And it wasn't so bad. There were some nights where I woke up in the middle of the night. And it is a weird feeling, you know, when you realize you're rocking. And I had a horrible nightmare for 2 nights, maybe, where I felt like I was sinking into the center of the earth. Because you just feel like there's nothing below you when you're floating that much. And ours was a smaller ship, so you felt it a little bit more. And I wasn't really used to that. But
that's funny.
I didn't get sick.
Yeah.
It was just a feeling. It was a feeling that, you know, you're not on solid ground.
My sister got ship-induced vertigo.
Okay. Yeah.
I was completely fine. When we were in Akita, it's really weird. We were in this like kind of strange modern art museum and she was looking at this like really strange painting. And she just like suddenly started to feel very, very dizzy and like couldn't really like keep her balance. And she was like a little bit messed up that day. And then when she got back to New York, she was like, I still feel like I'm on a boat. Like, I still feel like the ground is rocking underneath me. It went away. Neither of us were
diagnosed her.
Just curious. City MD. City MD.
Okay.
No, because I found that like the best sleep that I've ever had has been on a ship.
Mm.
It's like natural melatonin. I mean, melatonin's natural, but like it's like I fall asleep so quickly on a ship.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah.
And my seasickness remedy, which I will like defend till the day I die, is those acupressure C bands.
Mm-hmm.
They work miracles.
Yeah, I brought one with me, but I didn't need to bust it out.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So one question that I have that's like also related to a comment that Belinda in our Facebook group posted when we asked for people's experiences with cruises is that she doesn't like going because she feels like you get so rushed through stops and she would rather like be on her own and take the time to do it. Like, what would be your response to basically only being in a place for a certain number of hours?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I found it both ways. There were days when it felt a little bit limiting, and I wished that we could have been, like, there for the night and, like, gotten a nice dinner and hung out and, like, seen more of the place. But there were also days where we did the tour bus thing. Like, we went on, like, a cruise-led tour to this temple. And it was, like, an hour bus ride from the port, like, in the middle of nowhere. We did this guided tour. We had lunch, and we went back. And honestly, I felt like that was worth it. And it was worth just having, like, the sort of built-in logistics, especially in a country like Japan, where we wouldn't have even known how to begin getting our way to that temple. So it depends on where you are. I mean, I think if you're starting and stopping in a major city, a lot of people were like padding out their trip at the beginning and the end, or, you know, either or. So they would like see Tokyo for a week and maybe do Kyoto and then like do this cruise as well. I don't know. I found it occasionally useful, and there were some days where I'd like, I wish I could walk around this place for two more days, but I wouldn't have known. So I can always,
you know,
go back.
I met some people on my cruise who said that that's exactly why they take cruises, because you can like sample, you know, like mm-hmm. you dip into a place for a little while, and if you like it, you go back and do it in the way that you want to mm-hmm. do it. And if you don't like it, you're gone, you know, in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And so I think, I mean, that's one way of thinking about using it as like a little sampler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything that you feel like is the one mistake you made that you want people to not make if they listen to this podcast?
I wish that I had done a little bit more research about each different port before we went. We did half guided tours and half on our own. And I was happy with like both of those options in different ways. But I wish that if I had really like gone drilled in and researched on my own, I would have been able to make a more informed decision as to like whether I could navigate this place on my own, or whether this place is worth a tour, or worth just doing the bus or doing the shuttle. Like, there's so many different options. Mm-hmm. And I was so like unfamiliar with what the whole cruise thing was and how much time we were going to have and where we were going to be. And so I think that just knowing like when to use those like cruise tour things and when like you don't really need them.
Mm-hmm. Bug spray. Wish I had bug, better
they
bug spray.
They didn't sell it on the boat?
Maybe they did. I was so tired every time. That sun is so hot. Bug spray. That was it. I think everything for mine, like the expedition, it was so carefully laid out for us that it didn't... You really just needed to show up and like mm-hmm. look and be taken back by all of it. You know, just take it all in. And it was... That's kind of it. They just like lay it all out for you.
Could you have stayed on the ship longer? Or were you ready to go home by the end?
I was ready to go only because I wanted to tell everybody about it, honestly, because it was like so heavy, you know, all of, like seeing all of that and experiencing it. And even though I had people on the ship who I was talking to every day, I missed having someone with me to experience it with and to be like, oh my God, look at this thing, you know, and like say it in a way that was like truly me and not just like my
your
best
people
self.
Person, yeah.
Yeah. Polite.
You know, to be like, oh my God, look at this thing, you know, because you want to experience something like that with somebody, mm-hmm. I think, because it's almost like, was that thing real? Like, did I see that? Like, I have no witness here. But I was ready to go and see some people.
Mm-hmm. I was ready to go, but I think that not really that many degrees more than I would be at the end of any trip, especially in a place like Japan where the culture shock is that intense. Like, everything is so different. Everything is so incredible. Like, you're eating all these amazing things. You're seeing all this cool stuff. Like, everything is sort of like such a trip for your senses. But after a while, like, that gets kind of exhausting. You're like, I want to go home, and I want to eat a PB&J, and I want to sleep in my own bed.
Yeah, but it's not, it wasn't like a cruise feeling, right? It was just a vacation.
Part of it was, I think, the cruise was almost as much of a culture shock as mm-hmm. Japan was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was that dual thing. And also, like, my sister and I were sharing a room, like, as much as I love her. It's nice to have your own bedroom.
Yeah, totally. Left that detail out at the beginning.
So we did shared a very small room, which is comfy. But, like, I don't think it was, like, you know, we weren't like, I must get back. But, you know, we got off the ship, spent a couple hours in Tokyo, and then off we went.
Very quickly on an aside, when you book a cruise, do you pay by person or by room?
I believe by person.
I think it's by person.
So you pay per person, but it's going to be a different price.
For the second person, maybe.
Yeah. So like rooms are mostly priced for double occupancy. Okay. You can get rooms alone. There are usually fewer of them because they have rooms for one person. And if you pick a room that's like meant for two people, usually you would have to pay the price for two people. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can I say that I would suggest always getting a room with a window?
Always. Yes. Non-negotiable.
Like, just want to put that out there. Because mm-hmm. I don't know if people know that some don't come.
I didn't. That's yeah. terrifying.
A lot
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I think a window is an absolute must-have. Mm-hmm. A balcony,
yeah.
if you can do it, is another. Just look into it.
To have your own space where you can like open the door and have fresh air and sit and have like a moment to yourself, I think it's key.
Yeah.
Like if we didn't have we had a tiny little like shelf of a balcony, but it was perfect.
Because you could open the door and it felt like,
yeah. And we could go sit out there with a coffee and like just sit and not, you know.
Here's the thing that I felt like the ceilings were, you know, they feel a little lower, right? And you feel a little more
and you
cramped.
Can like touch everything in the bathroom when you spin around.
So a window must have.
Must have is a window.
So everyone can read about Andrea and Lauren's wonderful cruises and then all these other cruises that our staffers went on in the most recent issue of the magazine, which is the July-August cruise issue. There's a lady in a bathing suit on the front. She looks great.
I would say, can I just say that I met two members of the Women Who Travel Facebook group on my cruise. Shout out Amy and Joy.
Woo! if you haven't joined our Facebook group already, you should. We ask lots of questions. People provide lots of answers. And if you're interested in cruising, there are plenty of women in the group who have a lot of experience doing so and would love to share it. If you have been on a cruise that you really loved, please let Lale and I know so that you can convince Lale and remind me to go on a cruise. You can find me online at Oh Hey There Mare. Lauren.
I'm on Instagram at El DiCarlo.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter as A Whittle Bit.
And I'm on Instagram at Lale Hannah.
You guys should check out the issue, read all the stories online, join the Facebook group. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.